Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. Does Wall Street continue to put its interests ahead of its customers? Are you losing a large chunk of your investment wealth from stealth financial fees that line the pockets of your financial firms? How the financial system fails us and how to fix it? We're taking on Wall Street today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell, Stephen Davis, senior fellow at Harvard Law School's program on corporate governance. Before that, he headed up the Yale School of Management's Milstein Center for Corporate Governance, served on the Securities and Exchange Commission's Investment Advisory Committee, and co-author of The New Capitalists, How Citizen Investors Are Reshaping the Corporate Agenda, and now just out, What They Do With Your Money, How the Financial System Fails Us, and How to Fix It, with co-authors John Lecumnick, who serves as Executive Director of the Investor Responsibility Research Center, and David Pitt Watson, co-founder, former CEO of Hermes Focus Funds, the largest responsible global group investing in mutual funds. And we're out of time, Steve. great stuff. Great stuff you've done. Let's go right into it. I'm always under the impression that investors and institutional sources of money management, et cetera, have a fiduciary duty to put client interest first. Tell us how they're failing that and how they're moving our wealth to them.
Well, you know, there's this free-floating anger right now, as we've heard in the presidential campaign against Wall Street. And so one of the reasons why there is that kind of anger is because Wall Street, over the last, literally 130 years, has figured out a way to separate us, ordinary people that are saving money, from our capital, from our savings. And the way they do that is in part through fiduciary duty. I mean, many of the agents that we give our money to are not covered by fiduciary duty. In other words, they don't necessarily have to act in our best interest. And what has occurred is that agents have proliferated. So when we put our money away in a mutual fund or wherever we're trying to save it, there are now as many as 16 intermediaries that have arisen between us and our money. Each of them wants to have a slice of the pie. And so if you think about at the end of a typical person's working life, have they saved enough? The answer is not. And very often you won't know that there is this loss, or rather that you should have earned a lot more than you did. And the reason is, it's very hard to tell. You may see that you've gained over time. Your nest egg has grown, but what you don't see is how much it should have grown had agents not been siphoning money out of your pool.
In fact, it's pretty scary. A statistic is, because of the power of compound growth rate, the adding in all those sort of extra costs can take 38%, you say in the book, of the lifetime savings, even though the numbers are obviously going to be up overall, but that's more than a third that has disappeared through stealth fees.
Well, Yeah, actually, it can be even higher than that. What we do in the book is to show sort of compare someone saving in the UK or in the United States, and then compare that against someone saving in the Netherlands, where there are fewer agents, there's a different savings structure, and the typical person in the United States will, at the end of a lifetime of savings, have 50% less of a nest egg than a comparable employee in the Netherlands.
In fact, if you translate that in the work you did, it comes to $30,000 a year to live off of versus $50,000 in the Amsterdam case. It's a big difference.
That's a huge difference. It means that if you're here, again, you think that you've earned, rather you wind up with a certain nice pool of savings, but in fact, you should have earned a lot more. You should be able to count on a much more easy retirement than you wind up getting.
Now, along with these, that sort of transaction chain conflicts, you're pretty critical of the sort of the casino short-term nature of trading on the street now, and in London probably, and the other exchanges.
Yeah, and really the reason for that short-termism is because what we've failed to do over the last couple of decades is spend a lot of time on the governance of these agents that we give our money to. So there's been a lot of work to get corporate boards more professional and focused more on long-term performance. And boards are really much better. Corporate boards are much better today than they were, when we were, say, in high school. But we've not spent the time looking at agents. So the governance of agents is really in need of great attention. It means that there's a lot of secrecy going on. It's very hard to find out what fees, for example, you're paying if you're saving with a mutual fund.
In fact, something that I'm critical of is the high-frequency trading, often in dark pools, which is exchanges that are able to provide anonymity for the traders. So that sometimes they're front-running clients even. They pay for order flow. There's all kinds of conflicts, again, under the short-term trading heading.
Yeah, that's right. And the fact is that you and I and our listeners today, for the most part, are saving for the long term. We're saving for retirement. So we're not necessarily interested in the day-to-day performance, the short-termism of a lot of investing agents. And yet, they are allowed to act in that way. So why is that? It's because we don't have the kinds of accountability and transparency that we really need when it comes to financial agents, when it comes to Wall Street.
Now, Wall Street's full of these brilliant folks, and you call it mad math, which is excessive, I think, program trading, not tied to what the business's fundamentals are. And what about the failure of their risk models and their diversification models?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we talk about in the book is that what we've allowed is the sort of the spread of expertise, which really doesn't necessarily address the long-term needs of the ordinary saver. In fact, what it tends to do is to sort of celebrate the mad math that has occurred, and also the sort of impetus within the economics profession to look at sort of hypotheticals that really don't address real-world conditions in the economy.
Liability-driven investing, you talk about that as a risk. Talk exactly what that is, and is it risk reaching for yield is a formula, right, for taking excessive risk?
Yeah, I mean, this is if you look at the financial crisis, for example, what you find is that, yes, corporate boards took banks over the cliff when it came to high risk, but a lot of the investors their fingerprints are all over that, too. They tend to go for a higher risk than they ought to. And look, it's understandable at some level. The funds that we have now are under intense pressure to boost returns. I mean, again, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, we had 16 workers for every one retiree. So that means you could have had, I mean, a chimpanzee running an investment fund or a pension fund, and you'd be fine. You didn't have to worry about it. You'd have enough money to pay out. Today, we're moving towards about two workers for every one retiree. Retirees are living a lot longer. So it means that there's an intense pressure. You got to fire that chimpanzee. You've got to really do everything you can to boost returns. And so there's no doubt that there are a lot of funds that go much too far in harboring high risk in the hope of getting high returns. But at the end of the day, that doesn't work.
Now we're getting down to the last minute and a half. One of the secrets is that unmanaged passive index funds outperform all these high-fee funds, and the numbers are pretty big. The passive fund, I guess, is about half a 1% of expenses, expense ratio, and highly managed, and with all that chain you talk about, is over 2%. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, the evidence shows that index funds overall do a better job in many respects, but you shouldn't just sort of pick an index fund just because it's an index fund. There are some that do a good job looking after our money and some that do not. That's important. We got to check when you're putting your money in a fund. You got to ask some critical questions.
Okay. In our next segment, we'll look at how we can take back our money from Wall Street, how to fix some of this stuff. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the BizTalk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country, and we'll be right back.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is
is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back with corporate governance expert Stephen Davis, and we'll look into how to fix our financial system. One of the great insights I thought of this book, and you'll have to explain it in layman's terms, is that inexpensive alpha is better than expensive beta, and that's almost contrarian to normal thinking.
Yeah, I mean, look, one of the big issues here is that funds have not been aligned, and agents have not been aligned with their ordinary savers. And so they do tend to go after targets that don't necessarily make sense. And one of the big problems, just to drill down to the nitty-gritty, is the question of how much fund managers are paid and how are they paid. And a lot of times fund managers, in other words, the agents who work for funds that we give our money to, they're paid for short-term pops in performance. So they're looking, what they tend to do is to look for investment vehicles that don't necessarily match our long-term interests. And that's, so when you're investing in a fund, for example, you may want to ask, or when you're thinking about which fund to put your money into, you probably ought to ask, how are your fund managers paid? Is it for long-term performance, or is it just for short-term pops, or even worse, just for amassing more clients?
All right, I want to give you a chance now. In from your top priorities, how to fix our financial system, and I know one of the issues is misaligned incentives. That's what you've been talking about. Wall Street people are not bad people; they just chase whatever the incentives are. So, give us how would you fix it?
Yeah, and I think that's very important. We're not saying, number one, that there needs to be a revolution, and we're not saying that people at Wall Street are evil people. What we're saying is that we've allowed the system to go out of alignment for years, and more importantly, what we've allowed the system to do is to miss out on the core genius of free enterprise, which is the power of ownership. That's the heart of capitalism. And what we've allowed Wall Street to do is to separate us from our money. We need to return that situation to giving people back control over their money. So one of the problems is that our regulation is out of whack. If you look at it, the regulation that addresses this question is about 42 years old, and it was developed in 1972 for an investment world that simply no longer exists. So we have to update it substantially. It used to be people were saving in traditional pension funds. Now it's mostly through 401ks, defined contributions. The regulations really need to be updated for that. What we call for in the book is something called the financial equivalent of a nutrition statement. We'd like to see regulation that gives people the information they need to figure out how much they actually are paying in fees. Right now, you can't really do that. So a nutrition statement would be a big step forward.
You call it a need for a Magna Carta. Obviously, that nutrition statement is part of it. What else is on there?
Yeah, and by the way, the Magna Carta concept and Magna Carta itself is 800 years old now. We're saying that was for citizens. What about investors? This is the time when investors need to have protection. And one of the things we call for is a fundamental principle, which is that you shouldn't have investment without representation. And the dirty little secret in the financial markets and in pension savings is that there's very little oversight going on. Very few, either regulators or anybody else, are looking after your money and making sure that conflicts of interest are out of the way and that your interests are being served. So one of the things we call for is much more transparency. For example, when you go to your computer screen to look up, if you're lucky enough to have a 401k, you can look up typically on your screen what the transactions have been and where your stocks are. Well, you can't find out how much you're paying in fees, and you should be able to do that. And the pros can't even figure that out. There's a big fund recently in the UK. They did a deep dive, and they thought they were paying a certain amount. Turns out they were paying four times that amount, and they didn't even know it. So we need transparency for one thing, so that a saver can figure out what they're getting, what they're paying out, and if they don't like it, they can move their money.
Do you have thoughts on how to move away from the casino, high-frequency trading, and all that short-term stuff that ends up working against us?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big solution is if we can get the agents focused on aligning themselves with our long-term interests, then you will squeeze out those bad actors and bad approaches, because those are high risk, they are short term, and neither factor suits what most people need from their savings.
Two things. Do you think that you talk about the finance industry share of GDP going from 4% to 8%, 100% increase. Is that bad? And secondly, CEO pay to workers has gone from probably under in one digit to 231 times. Is that fueling the middle class resentment? Is that something that needs to change, or the market should have the right to do this?
Well, on the first point, we've clearly seen a financialization of the economy over years. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Finance is critically important to our economy. We need it to do all kinds of things, including drive prosperity and reduce poverty. It's critical. But what we need to make sure to do is to help that the efficiency gains that have occurred as the industry has grown, those gains have gone disproportionately to Wall Street itself. In other words, the data show that over 130 years, Wall Street has even though we've got telephones, computers, ATM machines, everything that boosts efficiency, those efficiency gains have gone not to us consumers, but really to Wall Street itself. That fuels middle class resentment. And then if you look at the other issue of CEO pay, the same thing applies. We've got increasingly a sense that Wall Street operates for its own interests, and corporations do as well. It undermines what is critical to our free enterprise system, which is trust. Trust needs to be there. Without trust, an economy grinds to a halt, and the politics get real toxic, as we've seen.
That's a good way to end it. In fact, it would seem to be in Wall Street's own interest to try and fix some of this stuff so they don't have a revolution on their hands ultimately.
That's absolutely right. I mean, the question is, how do we save Wall Street from itself?
And you've been listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Thanks to Stephen Davis. A very interesting book, right on target. And it's called What They Do With Your Money, How the Financial System Fails Us, and How to Fix It, published by Yale University Press. Thanks, Steve, for your time. Great interview.
Thanks, Jim.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
How would you like to pay less taxes? Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. That's 866-657-8517.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And next up, a follow-up visit to the show. We've asked Professor of Psychology at Northwestern University, Dan McAdams, who wrote a psychological profile on Donald Trump in the Atlantic Monthly magazine, to come back and explain what appears to be a Trump meltdown since he clinched the GOP nomination. What happened? Is the race over before it started? Has Trump self-destructed? And Dan McAdams, the Henry Wade Rogers Professor of Psychology at Northwestern, he's the author of George W. Bush and the Redemptive Dream, A Psychological Portrait, and the Art and Science of Personality Development. And his recent cover story was in the June Atlantic Monthly magazine, and that was entitled The Mind of Donald Trump, A Psychologist's Guide to an Extraordinary Personality. Welcome back, Dan.
Great to be back. Thanks.
We didn't expect to have you back so quickly, but the world changes quickly. And to put this meltdown in perspective, we had him winning the nomination while Hillary still had a month to go, mired in a quagmire with Bernie. And since that time, he's actually fought with some of the Republican leadership, Paul Ryan, John McCain. He's attacked the Mexican judge on the Trump University case, the Gold Star Muslim family at the convention who lost a son in the war, the Second Amendment statement where he sort of implied they should go after Hillary, where he suggested that Vladimir Putin should hack Hillary's email, calling Obama the founder of ISIS, and my personal favorite, throwing a crying baby out of one of his rallies. Tell us, has he imploded, or is he just worn out his welcome?
Maybe a little bit of both. I have to say I'm a little bit surprised. I thought he would pivot a little bit to kind of become a somewhat more mainstream kind of candidate, mm-hmm. both in style and in substance. But we really haven't seen that. I mean, every once in a while he'll give a speech and stay on point, and then the next day craziness breaks out. Throwing the baby and the mother out, that might have been the worst. Actually, I thought the turning point for me was his going after Mr. and Mrs. Khan. I was just shocked by that.
Has his strengths really become his weaknesses? And I think in the most recent piece you did, a follow-up yourself, that you said that the more Trump's told to act presidential, the more erratic his behavior is. And I wonder, since he's always been his own boss, if he just can't stomach anybody trying to tell him what to do.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. He has a shtick that has worked very well for most of his life. In fact, it's more than a shtick. It's what he is. It's who he is. He is an impulsive, big-talking, straight-shooting kind of guy who makes a big impact. And although, he's had a spotty record in the business world, this style has gotten him the successes that he has gotten. And it worked pretty much in the GOP race. I mean, on the small stage of Republican voters, he carried the day. But now he's on a much bigger stage in a much more complicated kind of venue, and this isn't playing well. And I think I would have expected him to tamp it down a bit, to try to kind of appeal to more conventional Republicans and maybe independents, but it just hasn't happened. I mean, he seems to have doubled down on the impulsivity, the lashing out, the aggressiveness. It's gotten even more extreme since he clinched.
An interesting thing, I read that Ron Fournier, who's a political analyst we've had on, said that he thinks that Trump has been made and destroyed by the media, in that he's been feeding them so many, let's say, myths, to be nice, his net worth, his success, his sexual prowess, whatever you want to talk about, for so long that now that he's getting this sort of negative, that he's like a heroin addict and almost can't deal with it.
Well, it's sort of, you win by the media and you die by the media. I mean, the media is responsible for getting him the nomination in the first place. I mean, he hasn't had to spend a lot of money. He's gotten free media attention all along. And, that media attention is now turning on him. And now you can see that he's going after the media now. So there is a sense in which things that have worked for him in the past have turned around to hurt him. But I think, you know, that this is to be expected. I think most candidates, both Democrat and Republican, you know, when they win the nomination, sort of know that they're playing on a different stage after they win and that they have to change. You know, you saw Reagan do it. You see Clinton did it. George W. Bush. I mean, every successful candidate, and even the ones who weren't successful as presidential candidates, when they get the nod from their party, they try to, you know, they change things. They try to broaden their support. And it seems like every day Donald Trump works harder and harder to get those diehard supporters that he's already gotten. I mean, how many outrageous statements do you need to make to get folks who were on your side way back in March?
I can't understand if it's, and then that's all I'll ask you, whether it's because he's so naive about politics. I mean, he actually appears to be dumb in the way to run a campaign. Or I think you said as well in this piece that he's sort of in a psychological trap which he cannot escape. And what do you mean that by that?
Yeah, the trap is something that became clear to me over the last month. I didn't really talk about it back in, when I wrote the Atlantic piece, but it sort of goes like this. I mean, he's we kind of wonder, why does he always take the bait? You know, when he's provoked, why does he lash out? Why doesn't he just hold back? So I think there's three reasons. I mean, the first is, by nature, he's an angry, impulsive person. So he tends to think quickly and act quickly. You know, I mean, that's been his MO all along. As I like to say, he lives in the angry moment. So there's that part. But then the second part is, it gets worse when the stimulus or the thing that he's responding to is about him, okay? It's about the self. And this is where the narcissism comes in, the narcissistic goals. He becomes even more impulsive and angry when the self is threatened. And so that kind of makes him double down. And then there are moments where he actually is able to step back and say, okay, I'm not going to be impulsive right now. I'm going to consider the situation in a more reasoned way. And when he does that, I think he comes around to the same response, because he has a philosophy of life, well thought out and reasoned, and it goes basically like this. The world is a dangerous place. People are attacking you all the time. You have got to hit back, even when it's Mr. and Mrs. Khan, even when it's a baby, you have got to hit back. So his philosophy of life tells him you got to be a counterpuncher or you won't win in life. So it's, you know, he's kind of, there's three different things going on, and the end result in each case is he lashes out. It seems like it's impulsive. Sometimes it is impulsive in the moment. At other times, it's a reasoned response. I mean, he made a reasoned response to hire this new CEO for his campaign, who, coming from Breitbart organization there, is a flamethrower. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like Trump's going to become even more of a flamethrower going forward.
He has this counterpuncher sort of philosophy and approach that, A, you're saying he almost can't control, but B, he can't discriminate between big issues and little issues, or focusing on Hillary versus little issues?
Yeah, he writes about this in The Art of the Deal, you know, almost 40 years ago. He says, you know, it doesn't matter who hits you. You know, it can be a big shot. It could be somebody who's really worth your time and effort. Or it can just be some little Joe Schmo on the street. You've always got to hit back. So, I mean, maybe this works in the business world in some situations. It probably doesn't work all that often. But it's sort of enshrined as his philosophy of life. And so, I mean, it's just pretty extraordinary that he manages to go after people who, if he just ignored them, in many cases, it would be fine. I mean, the Khans are a perfect example. They stole the moment. They had the moment there at the Democratic Convention. When you see something like that happening, you say, okay, they had their moment. I'm just going to sit back here. These folks lost their son. They're good patriots. But he goes after them. He doesn't just go after them once. He continues to go after them.
Yeah, and then he says he suffered and sacrificed.
Oh, my God.
Is it meaningful or profound that the guy that co-authored The Art of the Deal with him now calls him a sociopath?
I think it's meaningful, yeah. I don't know if I would say it's profound. I'm not sure I would use that term, but I think it was revealing. So it's Tony Schwartz, I believe, is the name.
Yes.
So it turns out I had always thought they kind of wrote that book together, but to hear Schwartz tell it, he wrote the whole darn thing and basically was trying to channel Trump. And I think he channeled him, you know, pretty accurately. And now, 40 years later, Mr. Schwartz sort of has not buyer's remorse, seller's remorse, I guess, because he feels like he sold a false bit of goods, or to put it in a different metaphor, that he kind of created through that book, a monster, a kind of Frankenstein. There may be something to that. I mean, that's the only book Trump's ever written that's any good, that actually has an impact and that people read and that's made a big has had a big influence. So I think it is interesting when Schwartz says that. I'm not sure, you know, sociopath's a little extreme. I mean, that's somebody who has, like, no understanding of right and wrong and so on. I'm not sure I would say that about Mr. Trump. But, I mean, the impulsivity and the fighting back, that's the problem I think he has now.
All right, we're down to the final minute. Let me ask you this. It seems to me that this guy has a complete lack of self-awareness and does a lot of projection. And when I see him calling Lion Ted or that Hillary's unhinged or unstable, I mean, don't those really append closer to him?
Right. Yeah, the pot calling the kettle black, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, he'll use terms that seem to be kind of coming straight out of his own his own personality. There is a lack of self-awareness. There's also a kind of lack of depth. I mean, you know, people have not been able to find much beyond the surface when it comes to Donald Trump. Yeah.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell, flagship stations, Yale Radio, WYBC and WGCH Greenwich. In our last national segment, we'll talk about several things, including how Trump will deal with losing.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need SpotOnWebsite.com. At SpotOnWebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. SpotOnWebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at SpotOnWebsite.com.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, just picking up my online back-to-school order.
Here you go. And with Staples' 110% price match guarantee, you got the lowest prices.
Order online, ready in store in an hour.
Staples makes going back to school easy peasy.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Any more and this will get cheesy.
Order online, pick up in store, and get everything you need at the lowest prices, period. Staples, make more happen.
Staples will match price plus refund 10% of the difference at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores. Limited time, see store or staples.com for details.
Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735. 800-503-3735. 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And our guest, Dan McAdams, and we're talking about Donald Trump. Before we get into the where we're at now, let me just ask you this. You see this pattern, and I hate to use the word con, but so much of his stuff, there's a lot of hype, and then there's under-delivery, not in touch with details. We saw that, obviously, in Trump University. Just yesterday, I read there was something called Trump Magazine, a luxury brand magazine, and he was being paid $120,000 a month licensing fee at the same time that the staff's checks were bouncing. Wow. And how does he, I mean, if he's going to license, wouldn't he be associating himself with less sleazy, you know, entities?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, it's almost as if he doesn't have any standards on this sort of thing. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
The Trump name is supposed to mean quality and trust and all that, but if you're extending it to those kind of situations, you kind of wonder.
Okay, let's talk about this now, and under the guise of, is the race over before it started? He seems to be at a ceiling of 40%. 19% of GOP voters want him to drop out. 44% totally want him to drop out. And if you do the math, that means he'd need 94% of the rest of the voters to get to 50%. Millennials are 52% to 26%. Hillary, is he doomed? Is he mathematically finished already?
I don't know. I mean, I think you need somebody like Nate Silver and Nate Cohn to make those kinds of projections. I think they're, you know, right now it's looking like something like a 90% probability that Hillary will win. But, you know, 90% probability isn't 100, and that's a 1 in 10 chance at this point, and things can always change.
Yes.
You know, sometimes world events happen, kind of hijack it all. But I have to say, I, again, am surprised that he hasn't done better, that he hasn't moved more to the center to try to broaden the base. It does seem like he's doubling down on the supporters that he has, and there just aren't enough of them.
Okay, let's ask this question. He seems to be, as we've always said, as you've always said, obsessed with winning, whatever it takes. How would he deal with losing, and are we sort of seeing that right now? And there's some comments now where he's actually talking about losing.
Yes, it's interesting. One thing I've said about him before is that I've always felt like most people who run for president, they want to win the election in order to be president. But Donald Trump wants to be president in order to win the election, and that it's really ultimately all about winning, and the idea of being the president is almost like an afterthought. But it is starting to look like he might lose, and how will he react to that? In the past, when he's had setbacks like bankruptcies and so forth, he's kind of reframed the conversation. He's changed the terms. He's changed the subject. I don't know how you do that when you lose one-on-one against Hillary Clinton, when the votes come in. I just don't know how you do it. I see him now saying things like, well, you know, if I lose Pennsylvania, and by the way, I think he's down 12 points in Pennsylvania. If I lose Pennsylvania, you know it's got to be rigged.
Rigged, yeah.
Or they cheated, and you got to get out there. So that's part of it. But it's still a mystery. I mean, I'm baffled. Really.
Is there anything in his MO, psychological MO, that would have him do something like quit and say that I don't have the support of the Republicans and blah, 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 and I'm walking out the door? Ultimately, he makes all his decisions on his self-interest.
Yes. I have heard that theory before.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think you'd go down in history then as the quitter. But, you know, is that worse than going down as the guy who lost?
Right. A Goldwater type.
Yeah. So I just don't know. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out totally. I have heard some Republican experts suggest they think there's a chance that he might step down before the election if it looks like he's really in bad shape. It would be an unprecedented, extraordinary kind of thing to go. I guess I think he won't do that. I haven't seen him do that before and stuff, but then there's never been anything quite this dramatic, whereas, you know, you either win or lose and everybody's going to know. It's hard to kind of predict, but I think he'll stick it out. And if he loses, he says he's going to go on a vacation. I find that hard to believe. I think he will probably talk about how he was robbed.
Well, let me talk about two other things and see what you think, if they could be. Number one, that this is all designed, and the Breitbart guy falls right into this when he's finished, to open up Trump TV or Trump media.
Yeah, up until today, I would have said that that's not likely, that I think Trump wants to win the election and that there aren't these other motives. But, there's an interesting article today on that. And opening up possibilities. So it may be that he is thinking a little bit about the post-November life if he indeed loses. I think, though, the choice of this fellow from Breitbart was mainly to get somebody who's got the same kind of temperament and that he's got, and to really go after Hillary in a much more aggressive way than he's done already, although he's been pretty aggressive.
That's the funny thing of this is, to me, I see it as he wants to get back to what Corey Lewandowski did, which is let Trump be Trump. But let Trump be Trump is almost a guaranteed formula for losing in the general.
Well, Trump has been being Trump the whole time. So, I mean, he's got this narrative going now that, well, you know, Corey's gone and Manafort's been my guy for the last couple months and I have been kind of constrained. But he hasn't been constrained. I mean, he's been more outrageous than he was before. So I don't know what let Trump be Trump means. I don't know how he can get any more Trump.
There's another theory that I've read, and this one I don't really buy because it would involve him being more somewhat selfless, but it's that he's actually building a movement, this nationalistic, protectionist, authoritarian.
Yeah.
You know, there was the Know-Nothing Party in the U.S. that was anti-immigrant. There was the American First during World War II. France, you know, there's right-wing parties in some of these countries, that he's actually building a more of a longer-term deal.
I think he is, but I don't think he knows he's doing that. It's not his goal. But that could be the result. And I think that that's a very interesting and potentially dangerous development in American society. Trump may be gone after November 9th or whenever the election is, but Trump supporters, the hardcore Trump supporters, they're not going anywhere. And they have been given voice for maybe the first time in a long time. This is a very strong movement in this country, and I think it's going to change the political landscape. So it may be that Trump is the unwitting sort of leader of that movement, but I don't think he has enough interest in politics and ideology and so forth to like self-consciously.
That's fascinating, because what you're saying is he's not going to hang around to run it.
No.
Okay.
Somebody else will step up.
Because I think that definitely is what's going to happen. I mean, the elections are going to get more and more contentious, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
those are voters that both parties are going to have to deal with in one way or another, assuming the Republican Party survives this.
Wow, that's pretty profound stuff. In just a couple of seconds, normally the campaign doesn't even start till Labor Day, so you can say we're still in preseason if you want. Psychologically, do you think that he could turn things around once we go into the major league part of the campaign?
No, I don't think so. I think we've been in the major league. I mean, you know, that old Labor Day thing, that's the way it used to be. We've been in full-bore mode now for at least a month, and he hasn't been able to turn it around. I thought he would. He didn't. I don't see how he's going to do it now, especially with the latest move of this new leader for his candidate. You know.
Well, it's the second time we've had Dan, and it's always been incredibly insightful. And if the thing is able to sustain itself, we may have to get you back in the remaining 90 days. That June Atlantic monthly cover story, again, was The Mind of Donald Trump, A Psychologist's Guide to an Extraordinary Personality. It's been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Our next show, we've got a rebuttal on our recent interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his claim that his cousin Michael Skakel was innocent. We've got two experts that will rebut some of his claims. Thanks to Dan McAdams. Thanks to our national audience for listening. See you next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.